1 Peter chapter number 5. Begin reading at verse number 8. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to take my subject tonight from the first part of that text there in verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Amen. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Be sober, be vigilant. Praise God. God, we love you. We're so in love with you. We're in love with your word. We're very, very thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. I pray, God, that you would help us here tonight. Enlighten us, empower us with wisdom, revelation. I'm asking you, God, to help us. Let the anointing of the Lord, the word of God, come unto us and destroy the yokes of bondage. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. And you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, Peter knew a little bit about that. He knew a little bit about that. Peter's the one that stood there and Jesus asked him, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art Elias, John the Baptist, or maybe one of the other prophets." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter stepped right up and said, I'll tell you who I think. Thou art the Son of God. And thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father." And he said, "And I say unto you, Peter, that upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I'm going to give to you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." And it's not very much longer after that that Peter, in his steadfast, rock-hard condition, looks at Jesus, and Jesus said, "You're going to forsake me." And Peter says, No, sir, not I. I will go with you unto the death. And whatever happens, you just mark it down. I'm going to be right beside you. And I'm going all the way, going to go all the way with you. I don't have any turning back in me. I don't have any quit in me. I'm steadfast. I'm rock solid. I'm here to stay. I'm not going anywhere. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You know, Peter," he said, "before that rooster crows three times tonight, you're going to deny me three times." And we find that he that was rock solid and steady and steadfast and unmovable and had the keys to the kingdom of heaven and everything like that, we find him that he can't even stay awake and pray an hour. And I would submit to you that if he would have been disciplined enough and prayed like he needed to pray, he probably wouldn't have cut the ear off of Malchus. Probably would have been more in the Spirit and letting the Spirit lead him. But his spirit was not right. He didn't get it right in prayer. I think that that's a good thing to accentuate, is that we cannot forsake prayer. Amen. We can have good intentions. We can have all of the good intentions in the world. we can have the backbone of a saw log and say, I'm here in this church and I'm not going anywhere. But you know what? Right here, if you forsake praying, it's not going to be long before you're going to be wore down and wore out. And I'm preaching about being sober and being vigilant here tonight. And I want to press this through to you and tell you that it is extremely essential that every service that you come to, and we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's what Hebrews 10 and 25 states. If we're having church, then you need to be here. Praise God. Amen. I'm the pastor of the assembly. I cannot change the Word of God. I can't do it. I can only tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, those that say, well, you know what, I'm okay. I don't have to go to church all the time and such. This is Peter as he is speaking here, and he is admonishing us to be sober and to be vigilant. Why? Why be sober? And Peter can tell you, he said, you know what, because you can get intoxicated with your own self, your own thoughts, and thinking, oh, you know what, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, I'll never do this. And Peter said, you know what you need to do? You need to get off your high horse is what you need to do. You need to get back down to reality and understand, let him that thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And so we know that Peter did. And Peter, you know, he messed up. Courtyard of the high priest's house, three times denied the Lord, once with a fisherman's oath. And the Lord had warned him of that. And more than that, the Lord had shown him how to protect himself from the enemy. But he had failed to pay heed. There was another time that Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, he said, you know, we need to have a talk. And he said, well, you know what's on your mind, Jesus? And he said, I'm just here to tell you that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And Jesus told him, he said, but I have prayed for you. And just because I prayed for you doesn't mean that everything is going to be okay. He said, I have prayed for you. And when you come through this, Jesus has faith that you're going to come through it. Why? Because you have everything that you need to come through it. It's just a matter of you making up your mind, I am going to come through this. He said, when your faith has been tried and when you come through this, he said, then strengthen your brother. Amen. Encourage your brother and help your brother out as well. So here is Peter speaking from experience. A man that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who had Jesus tell him, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. A man that had Jesus look at him and said, Peter, I appreciate who you are, but I'm telling you, Satan's desired to sift you as wheat. And I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brother. And then to have Jesus look at Peter and say, Peter, I want you to come aside with me and pray. And then Peter went to sleep. Here is a man that has all understanding of why that we need to be sober and to be vigilant. To be sober just simply means that. It means to be sober-minded. It means to be discreet. It means to be careful in your thought process. I think this ties hand in hand together, that you don't allow your imaginations to run away with yourselves. Some imagination is fairy-tale-ish, and that you're the hero of all things. And some imaginations basically come to assumptions that nobody is for you and that everybody is against you. And none of it is good. And so Peter tells us to be sober. and to be discreet and to be careful about things, not to allow these things to run away with ourselves, to think that we are better than we are, or to think that everybody would be against us. He says, be vigilant. And the word vigilant means to be watchful. It means to keep awake. It means to be consistent, persistent about this. Amen. To be vigilant. You can't be half-hearted about it. You have got to be consistent about it. You can't look up and say, well, you know what, I'm looking at some things here and then go on about your business. You've got to be vigilant about it. You've got to be consistent about it. Praise God. Amen. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Why? Because we have an adversary. Amen. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that is the tactic of the lion. The tactic of the lion. In they go. And they lay in the tall grass. And they sit so subtly and so silently and so invisible. And the antelope and the zebra and everything else that's there in the desert or in the Sahara or in the African jungle, wherever it is, the lion is there. And the lion doesn't necessarily just come out and make his presence known. But when they're not looking, they creep up and they lay back down. And they just silently do that. And that's why we must be sober. And that is why we must be vigilant. Because your adversary does not have good intentions for you. Amen. He does not have good intentions for you. And so he is going to do his best to subtly sneak up on you. To catch you at a moment of ease. To catch you at a moment of rest, at a moment that you think not, and a moment that you think that you may be the strongest. And that is the moment that he is going to initiate his attack, and that he is going to spring into action and chase you down. He's not really interested in a long run chase. The race is not to the swift, it's just unto the one that endures unto the end. Unto the end. You've got to outrun the lion. Or the lion has got to outrun you. And if the lion outruns you, then that's the end. That's the end. Amen. But it's the race is unto the one that endures unto the end. If the lion gives up, you make it. Amen. Praise God. But if not, then you've got to outlast him. You've got to outrun him. You've got to stay a few steps ahead of him, because he is going to give chase to you. And just as it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, it is the will of the enemy that nothing and nobody would be saved. Praise the Lord. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, we would see Jesus was speaking concerning these things, and he says that how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. This is the lion. This is why the strong man, not the weak man, not the anemic man, not the sleepy man, but the good man, the strong man, the man that is sober, the man that is vigilant, the man that is doing everything that he is supposed to do. How can the enemy overcome the strong man except that he first bind the strong man. And that's why you have to be sober. That's why you've got to be vigilant. That's why you can't come to a place and think, oh, you know what? I am just doing so good. I don't need to pray like that anymore. I can bypass the altar service tonight. I don't have to worship like everybody else worships. I can check out because I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm good. There's none good. No, not one. Amen. I want you to know that the devil would love to tack your hide to the wall just as much as he had loved to tack my hide to the wall. And understand that if he can smite the shepherd, then the sheep will scatter. And so sometimes there's a bigger bullseye upon me. Amen. But nevertheless, we're all in that in the scope of the enemy to try to destroy us as individuals. And the Bible teaches us that, said that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none, but he's going back to that house. And he even states it like this. He says, I'm going to go back to my house. My house. The devil doesn't consider you yours. He doesn't consider you God's. He just considers you temporarily not in his place. He's coming back to you to try to overwhelm you, to tempt you, to get you to falter, to get you to fall, to get you, amen, to trip up, and to eventually to quit. Praise God. Amen. I said the devil wants you to quit. How many in here is ready to endure unto the end? Hallelujah. I'm ready to go all the way. Amen. You need to get a bulldog grip upon that and say, amen, I'm taking the word quit and I'm taking it out of my vocabulary. I'm not in this to quit. I'm not in this to turn around. I'm not in this to find an easier way about it. I'm in this to make heaven my home. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you don't want to go, then I'm still going to go. Praise God. Brother Gavin, I'd love to go to heaven with you, but if you don't want to go, then you're not going to keep me from going. I still plan on making heaven my home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the enemy has got to bind that strong man, or he's going to find you swept and garnished and empty. And what do we find when we see that swept, garnished, and empty? We don't find soberness in there, and we don't find vigilance in there. Amen. We find somebody that has quit, somebody that has laid down, somebody that has gotten comfortable, somebody that says, well, I don't need to do all of that anymore. Amen. I want you to know that we are living in perilous times, and it's time for the church to stand up and to be sober and to be vigilant. Amen. And to say, hey, devil, we understand your tactics. We know what you're all about, and we are committed to being saved. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Wirtz and I were talking about this just last night. Amen. House bill is being passed, and everything seems to be going through and stuff, and it's all under camouflage, in my opinion. But what they're stating is that the homosexuals, amen, have got a right basically to sue the church if the church stands against them. And they said, no, the church is protected. I'm just telling you what they're doing. They're opening the door and giving them a solid place to stand. And the time is coming that it's going to be a hate crime to preach these things. Amen. The freedom of speech really is non-existent. And they're going to try to dictate to the church what we can preach and what we cannot preach. Amen. But this is where we're going to have to be steadfast and solid in the doctrine and say, you know what? This is the way that it's got to be. I'm telling you, that enemy, that adversary is a lion seeking whom he may devour. He is waiting in dry places. He is lurking to and fro, trying to find somebody, amen, that's given up. Just taking an inch here and an inch there and trying to get his foot foot into the door. And this is where the church, I'm here to preach to individuals, but I'm really here to preach to the church. It's time for the church to stand up as a body and to say, devil, we're having revival. We're going to have revival. We're going to see people pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to see people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The enemy doesn't want to see it happen. He's going to try to wreck revival. He's going to try to get into the church and try to disrupt, amen, the unity in the body. He's going to try to get in the church and to shake up spirits and to rattle skeletons. But this is where the church needs to rise up. The church needs to come together as a collective body. Amen. And we need to pray as a collective body, fast as a collective body, and not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Zechariah Zerubbabel said, amen, the spirit of the word of the Lord came unto Zerubbabel saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm not good enough to make this happen. We aren't good enough to make this happen, but by the power of God and by the spirit of God, I submit to you that anything is possible. Amen. I want to believe that this building isn't big enough to handle what God wants to do right here in this vicinity. I believe that if we could just unlock the mind of God and begin to understand what God would have for this city and for this church, it would excite every one of us. We would stand up a little bit taller and say, wow, God, you want that for us? I'm willing to go. I'm willing to walk. I'm willing to do. Amen. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Revival will have, amen, its pressures, but all the church is greater than anything that the devil can throw at us. But the church must be sober and must be vigilant in order to find and accomplish what the Lord would have for us. Oh, let's magnify him today. Praise God. Acts chapter number 2, we see it. The Bible said they continued steadfastly. We could stop there and we will stop there for just a little while. But he said that they continued steadfastly. They continued. They never got to the place that they said, you know what, this is good enough, Brother Troy. They always said, where's another one? Amen. We had one get the Holy Ghost. It's time to see another one get the Holy Ghost. Got a few in home Bible study class. It's time to get a few more in home Bible study class. Had one baptized in Jesus' name. Let's find another one. He said they continued. They didn't get to the place. They said, all right. Amen. The preaching is good enough. The church is big enough. The music is great enough. And all of these things are wonderful enough. No, the Bible said that they continued. Amen. They continued. This isn't good enough. There's another soul out there somewhere that needs the Holy Ghost. Another individual that's dying on their way to a devil's hell. If somebody doesn't intervene, and the Bible said that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They kept preaching about the oneness of God. They kept preaching about separation from the world. They kept preaching about baptism in Jesus' name. They kept preaching about repentance and forsaking the love of the world. They kept preaching about these things, and they would not stop. No matter what the governor said, no matter what the magistrate said, they said, these are they that have turned the world upside down. No, we're just straightening the world up. We're just getting them turned right back side up, and let God do the work in all of it. Praise the Lord. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. Amen. They said it's not time to stay home.
Amen. It's not time to say, oh, you know what? This is just fifth Sunday and we don't have to come. We don't need to come. No, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Why? They were building bonds one with another. They were encouraging one another. Amen. They were in unity one with another. Amen. They were excited about what God was doing. They were in fellowship one with another. And in the breaking of bread. And the Bible finishes off by saying, and in prayers. Help us to never forsake prayer. Help us to never alleviate prayer. Never let go of prayer. It's time to pray. We need to pray on Monday and pray on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Why? There is an adversary like a roaring lion. Help me, somebody. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be cautious. We need to be watchful. And when you see something happen, fall on your prayer bones and begin to pray.
Praise God. Amen. Prayer is something that I want to focus on even more this coming year. And I know that we've got prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. And prayer meeting is essential. Amen. I said prayer meeting is essential. Praise God. Amen. Prayer meeting is essential. We got to have it. We got to come together. We got to pray. I need to hear you praying. You need to hear me praying. I need to see you praying. You need to see me praying. And in doing so, we're strengthening one another. We're helping one another. Prayer is what's going to change things. Amen. Hot dog cookout's not going to do as much as prayer is going to do. Prayer is going to change things. Prayer is going to break the yokes of bondage. Amen. Prayer is going to bring heaven down. Amen. Prayer is going to do away with the lust of the world and the ways of the world. The closer that we get to God. Amen. We got to be watchful and we got to continue in these things. We got to pray. Hey, church, it's important that we have pre-service prayer. Why? Why is it so important? Because we got an adversary. Amen. That's lurking to and fro. That's saying, hey, I want you to know I want this service. This service is mine. Amen. I don't want you to have any victory. Because if you don't get the victory on Wednesday night, I stand a better chance on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And if I can get you to come to church on Sunday, dead tired and weary, and you don't get what you need on Sunday morning, amen, I can work on you again Sunday night. I want you to know that I want Sunday night as well. Sunday night is mine. There he is, an adversary. Don't count him out. Don't think, amen, that just because you come to church that everything is going to be all right. If we have good church, it's because somebody was sober and somebody was vigilant and somebody prayed and somebody fought the good fight of faith. If we have a breakthrough, it's not by accident. It's because there was a church that said, we've got to have good church tonight.
Preacher, I just don't understand why it's so important. I mean, why do we need to be hanging off the chandeliers every service? Why do we need to be doing all this every service? It's because you got an adversary. It's because we have an adversary who's seeking, searching for whom he may devour. Say devour.
Devour.
Devour. He wants it to be what, when it's all said and done, there's only two pieces. There's only, what did it say, piece of an ear and two legs, or two ears and a piece of a leg. That's all he wants left. Yeah. Nothing left. To make a saint. I just want you to know, if you make it to heaven, it's going because you got up every morning running. You kept putting one foot in front of the other foot. You cannot get lazy about living for God. You cannot get lazy about living for God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isaiah said that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, will raise up a standard against him. Amen. You've got every tool, every incentive, everything that you need to make it. The odds are stacked in your favor to make it. God wants you to be saved. God, the Bible said that he added unto the church daily such as should be saved. It's the will of God that somebody receives the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. It's the will of God that somebody comes in on Tuesday night and receives the Holy Ghost in prayer meeting. It's the will of God that somebody receives the Holy Ghost Sunday morning and Sunday night. Amen. Amen. You know, many, many years ago when I was preaching revival here back in 2005, and I was just a young evangelist, dumb enough to believe that God could do anything. And so I was praying, you know, God, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, touch people's hearts and souls. We don't even have to be having church. Brother Worth, I think it was on a Saturday morning that Brother Brady's mom came, and she needed to come into the church, and she wanted to pray, and she had a rash all over her body, and she was itching, and she couldn't get deliverance from it, and she was going crazy and stuff, and they prayed for her right there. She got the Holy Ghost Saturday morning. She got the Holy Ghost on Saturday morning, and God healed her body. God healed her body on a Saturday morning. I'm telling you, church, that's what God wants to do for us. That's what God wants to do in the church. Amen. God wants people to be able to walk up to us. Amen. And say, you know what? Would you pray for me? I need God to touch me right now. It can happen. It will happen. Amen. I was in a Western store several years ago. I was in a Western store and walking in, and a lady just out of the blue, she walked up to me. Just whatever it is, it's God. She walked up to me and she said, I don't even remember exactly what she said. Are you a religious man? Are you a preacher? Are you whatever? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, I knew it. She said, I've got some problems and I'm wondering if you'll pray for me. Right there in a Western store. I said, absolutely, we'll pray for you right now. And right there in that store, we began to pray and God began to touch that woman. I'm telling you, this is what God wants. God wants revival worse than we want revival. Amen. Because we didn't die for the souls, but he did. And he sees every soul that's out there sitting there with a syringe ready to jam it into their arm and to shoot up because that they don't feel like they're worthy and don't feel like they're cute enough, handsome enough, or whatever, and depressed, and they just got to have some type of help, and they're looking at that, or they're looking at a crack pipe, amen, and looking to smoke it just to try to get a little peace of mind or some joy or some happiness out of their delusional world and stuff. And I believe there's tears running down the face of God as he's saying, you don't have to do that. I died so that you could have it. And they're wondering, where do I go? What do I do? I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen. There's a church that's buckled down and that's praying and saying, God, would you lead me to that door? God, would you lead me to that soul? Would you cause them to come to me or me to go to them? But open up a door of utterance. God, I don't know where they are, but show them where we are, or somehow or another let our paths cross. And God is looking at it and saying, that's my church, that's my church, that's what I need. And God begins to cause things to come to pass, and things begin to cross, and things begin to come together. And that is the mind of God. But there is an enemy that wants to stir up trouble, stir up strife, stir up stuff, wants to beat you down, wants to kick you down, wants to try to destroy you, or he wants to pat you on the back and make you feel good enough that he destroys you. But either way, he's destroying you. Whether he's stomping you in the dirt or pumping you up so egotistically high with pride That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that pride cometh before destruction. Bible said that God hateth a proud look. God, Bible said that God resisteth the proud. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be sober. Let's stand here tonight. We need to be sober. We need to be sober. We need to be sober. And we need to be vigilant. I'm committed to having revival. I want to have revival. I preached it Sunday night. I just want revival. I just want revival. I just want revival. I have no idea what this means. I have no idea what it'll come to. Monday, Marcus and I was out driving around. We drove through the city, town of El Dorado. I began to look around at all the people that are lost. Yeah. Brother Worse, I don't think there's a church there, is there? God, what can we do? Yeah. How can we reach them? Yeah. How can we go about it? I don't know. I don't know what it all entails. I don't know what's going to happen. Somebody asked me, they said, would you start a church there? I said, right now I got to help Augusta. I believe that we'll get this church to a place that this church will begin to spill out. And it'll spill out into some of these areas. It's like Hannah saying, God, if you'll give me revival, I'll give it back to you. And that's what I'm saying. God, if you'll give us revival, I'll give it back to you. I'll give it back to you. But you know, 20 minutes isn't a long ways for El Dorado to drive. We got people in this building right here, right now, that drive more than 20 minutes to come here. What if? What if? I'm telling you what I'm praying. I'm saying, God, whatever. Whatever it is, I just want to be effective. I want to be effective. I want you to be able to do whatever you need to do in this community, in this county, in this area. Whatever you need to do, God, I want you to know I am available. I am available. And you know what? I understand that that's going to upset hell. But you know what we must do? Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. And let God work out the details. But I believe and I feel that there is a great revival right here in this community. Of an effectual revival. Right here in this community. And God is saying, church, are you ready? Are you ready? It's going to come with resistance. It'll come with fighting. But I just want to know, is the church ready? Are you ready to be sober, to be vigilant, and to press on? Amen. These altars are open here tonight. It's early. It's early. I'm getting evangelistical. It's early. Hallelujah. God's looking for a people. God's looking for a church. God's saying, I need somebody to pray. I need somebody to commit. I need somebody to reach out. I need somebody to make themselves available. It's time to be sober.